Open your Bibles, please, to the 119th Psalm. Psalm 119 in your Scofield Bible, page 658. Beginning with the ninth verse, we'll read through verse 16. We'll read these verses responsively. The ninth verse is the text verse for this evening's message. Once again, Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, page 658. Let's stand, please, as we always do for the reading of this passage. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we have opportunity tonight. There's nothing to surpass this opportunity. It's a very special opportunity to once again hear thy word in this place. These thousands now await the message that thou hast given to the heart of our preacher. We're thankful that you give us week by week what we need. We have needs again. We're always needy. Until one day we're with thee, we'll stand in need of thy word and the preaching of it, the power of it. Help us tonight in Jesus' name.
Now, Father, we come to the preaching of thy word. The old world doesn't know it, but that's what America needs, the preaching of thy word. Tonight we come to that. I pray you'd help us as we do. Speak to our hearts plainly, clearly, and concisely. In Jesus' name, amen. This is not a Christmas message. It's a message that I wanted to bring. I've been thinking about bringing for a number of weeks now. In fact, even probably a couple of months. And I have known I ought to bring it. But I feel before the holiday season comes and before school is out, I wanted to bring what I'm going to say tonight. Before I preach, let me say to you young people, if you start walking in and out tonight, I'm going to stop and point to you and tell you to sit down. I'm 64 years old. I've been going to church all my life. I've never one time had to leave the service to go to the washroom. Never one time. And so I want you to listen to me. This is not a place where you come and go like a cafeteria. It's a place where you sit and listen to what God has to say. I'm speaking tonight on the subject, the way out. The way out. We get ourselves into some real messes. You wouldn't believe. You absolutely wouldn't believe the messes that people get into. If you could somehow come to my office, just sit in the corner sometime, and listen to the problems that, humanly speaking, are unsolvable. The questions that, humanly speaking, are unanswerable. And the condition that seems to have no way out. You'd be amazed. Often people leave my office and they have such a problem and their life is in such a mess that when they leave, I wonder if they're going to commit suicide. I mean that. And, by the way, on occasion, they do find no way out. At least they think they have no way out. And they do, on occasion. I'd say a dozen times in my ministry, people whom I've tried to help, who've gotten themselves so deep into a problem, they feel there's no way out but to take their lives. Humanly speaking, they're right. There is no way out. I could not begin to tell you the complexity of the problems that come in the lives of our people. So you're there now, many of you. You're there right now. You don't know the way out. Maybe it's a financial problem, and you don't know the way out of it. Bankruptcy, that's not the answer, you say. But there's no way to pay your bills. You've gotten yourself, whether it's your fault or not, you've gotten yourself in such a problem you can't see your way out of it. Or it may be because of sin in your life. You've gotten yourself because of sin or mistakes in your life. You've gotten yourself in such a shape you just cannot see how in the world you can find your way out. I want to talk to you about it tonight. I want to be very practical with you. It's not one of those sermons where I'm going to be real preachy. It's a sermon where I'm going to talk to you like a father would talk to a child. I want to assume tonight that hundreds of you, and I think I'm right, are in so far you cannot see your way out. As you see it tonight, there's no way, humanly speaking, out of the condition in which you find yourself. First, I want to say what is not the way out. Don't leave me now. What is not the way out? In the first place, your own way is not the way out. Your own way is not the way out. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, the wise man said, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Your own way is not the way out. People oftentimes say to me, I got myself in this mess, and I'll get myself out of this mess. No, it was you that got yourself in that mess, and you will dig yourself a deeper hole and have a bigger mess after a while if you try to get yourself out of the mess you got yourself into. You see, don't trust your own judgment to get yourself out. It was your judgment that got you where you are. How foolish can you be? I mean, you made decisions you thought were the right decisions, and it got you in the mess you're in. Now you want to get yourself out. Now, I say number one, do not use your own way, and do not think that your own way is the way out. Number two, do not use the humanist way. The humanist way is not the way out. I'm talking about psychologists and secular counselors. They don't know the way out. They don't even know the way. I mean, they don't know the way out. I wouldn't give you a dime for all the secular psychologists in the world. I may give you a nickel for all the Christian psychologists, but not much more than that. But I wouldn't give you a dime for all the secular psychologists in the world. They don't know the way out. I mean, look, that's the crowd that affords them is the Hollywood crowd. Look at the mess they're in. I mean, that's the crowd goes to these psychologists. I mean, they don't know the way out. If they knew the way out, America would be in, we'd have a peaceful country. We wouldn't be on liquor and dope today. We wouldn't be killing ourselves because we want to escape reality. The truth is, the way out, listen to me, sailors. Same two that misbehaved this morning. The way out, and by the way, there's a place where you're going to obey the commanding officer. The way out is not the humanist way. I mean, this old humanist way that's being taught in our state universities, and I've said it many times, I'll say it again. I'd rather a child of mine never learn to read and write than get educated in humanist institutions. But I'm saying that the way out is not the psychologist, and the way out is not the psychiatrist, and the way out is not the counseling session of a humanist counselor. What is not the way out? Your own way is not the way out. The humanist way is not the way out. And by the way, the humanist way is really your own way, because you choose the counselor you go to, and you choose the psychologist you go to. So it's really another way to have your own way. There's a third way that's not the way out, and that is your professional Christian counselor's way. Now, I hate to say this tonight because I'm going to offend somebody, But I never have much confidence in a preacher that's called of God to preach that spends his life doing nothing but counseling. I mean, counseling is not going to save this country. Preaching is going to save this country. And you have the right kind of preaching, you won't need to go to the counselor an awful lot. But for a preacher, I know God called preachers, pastor churches, and then they resign the churches and go in the business of one little segment. Don't give me these Christian specialists. Give me the old general practitioner, the local New Testament church, and the pastor of a local New Testament church. The professional Christian counselor, I know what I'm talking about, gets his training from the same books that the secular humanist counselor gets his from. Same courses. To be licensed, for example, you have to have the certain courses, read the same textbooks, sit in the same classrooms, and you will get, and you follow me, you will get basically most of the counseling you get from the professional Christian counselor's way. Basically, you'll get the same thing you'd get from a psychologist in the secular field. What's not the way out? Your worldly friend's way is not the way out. Look, the people that got you in the mess you're in don't know the way out. And it's peer pressure that got you where you are. You follow the crowd. You follow your friends. And now then, you want these your friends, so-called friends, your worldly friends, to get you out. They can't get you out. They're in the same fix you're in. What is not the way out? Your own way, or the humanist way, which is another way to say your own way, or the professional Christian counselor's way, which is another way to say your own way. Let me tell you something. You give me an old-fashioned hell, fire, and brimstone preacher to counsel with me in his office, and I'll take that 10-1 over the professional counselor who left the pulpit, left the pastorate, and left the church, and left the old-fashioned preaching, and decided to become a specialist of counseling. Now you listen. God gives special wisdom to old-fashioned preachers. They built this country, and we didn't have to any psychologists when we went to hear them. There's a fifth way that's not the way out, and that is your self-chosen counselor's way. Here's what you do. There's something that you want to do, and you want to bring God in on it and say that God is leading you. So you find somebody that you know how they counsel. And you'll find somebody that will tell you what you want to hear. What you better do is find somebody that'll tell you what God's already said. You see. But you'll say, well, I sought counsel. I hear it all the time. Well, I sought counsel. Yeah, you pick the counsel just like you pick a suit of clothes or a dress. You pick the one you wanted to wear. You found the guy that would tell you what you wanted to hear. Now, what you better do is you better find yourself a man of God who knows this book, who's counseled with people and helped people through these years. And I'll get to that in a few minutes. But I'm simply saying your self-chosen counselor's way is not the way. You remember the story in the Bible of when Solomon stepped down off the throne. He left the throne of Israel to his son Rehoboam. Rehoboam was a young man and a young king. Rehoboam needed some advice. He needed some counsel. So he sought the counsel of the old men. And the old men said to him, ease the tax situation a little bit. And loosen up the taxes. You're overtaxing your people. And they said, Rehoboam said, okay, read my lips. Then he went to the young men. And he said to the young men, what do you think I ought to do? And they said, make the tax burden greater. Now, young people, you're not going to walk in now to the service tonight. Young lady, when you get out, stay out. Now, don't come back in. I'm saying, and usher, see that happens back there. I'm saying that Rehoboam got advice from the young men. And they said, increase the taxes. And Rehoboam took the young men's advice because that's what he wanted to hear. He wanted more luxury. He wanted more money. He wanted more privileges.
And so he took the advice of the younger men and destroyed himself, destroyed the kingdom, destroyed his family, and eventually divided the entire kingdom into the northern kingdom and southern kingdom, or as it were, Israel and Judah. Why? Because he chose the counselors whom he, whose advice he was going to take. Now, I've said what is not the way out. What is the way out? First place, listen, there is a way out. There is a way out. I don't care what your problem is. There is a way out. I don't care how deep in it you are. There is a way out. I don't care how far into sin you've gone. There is a way out. I don't care how intricate your problem is. There is a way out. Whatever it is. And there are folks all over this house tonight who have problems that are unsolvable, they think, and questions unanswerable, and heartaches they think they cannot bear, and they say, I can't see any way out. Bless God, you don't have to see any way out. There is a way out. Number two, the Bible has the way. Now listen carefully to me, and this is as trite and as old as can be, but America needs to get back the old and quit shooting for the new. There, hear me now, there is not a situation that man can have, but what there is a like situation in the Bible, or a command in the Bible concerning that situation. I don't care what situation you're in, there is either a Bible command or a Bible example that can get you out of the place where you're in. Now listen to me. If you obey the Bible, isn't that strange? The Bible's the answer. I can save you $100 a visit. You can lay down on your own couch. You don't need to go to a psychiatrist. Now, if you're mentally ill, that's different. I'm not talking about mental illness. I'm talking about confusion. You get yourself in troubles. You go to a psychiatrist. I'm talking about that is unnecessary. This book right here has and is the answer. Everything that God has ever done, He's done through His Word. Go out tonight after the service goes over and look up at the moon. That moon was made from nothing by God. Look at the stars and the constellations of stars. Those stars were made from nothing by God. Sometime, take time to go look at the sunrise in the morning. Listen to me. Or the sunset in the evening. And as you see that sun as it's rising or setting, stop and remember, that great sun in the heavens was made from nothing by God, by His Word. God spoke and the moon came into being. God spoke and there were stars. God spoke and there was the sun. God spoke and there were trees. God spoke and there were fish. God spoke and there were flowers. God spoke and there were birds. God spoke and there was a man. Men. God spoke and there were lakes. God spoke and there were mountains. God spoke and there were animals. Everything that God has ever done, He's done through His Word. Sometime look at Revelation and see the 10 times it said, and God said, let there be. And God said, let there be. Well, bless God if He can say, let there be, and out of confusion can come a son. And if God can say by His Word, let there be, and out of confusion can come a moon. And if God can say, let there be, and by His Word, out of confusion can come stars. And if God can say, let there be, and out of confusion can come birds and beasts and fish. And if God can say, let there be, and by His Word, out of confusion can come flowers and trees and lakes and mountains. Bless God, God can bring you out of your confusion. But He does it by His Word. When our Savior comes the second time to put down the Antichrist at the end of the awful battle, that is called the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus comes again and puts down the Antichrist. And how will Jesus put down the Antichrist? With a mighty army of soldiers? No. With the mighty Air Force dropping bombs? No. With swords and spears? No. With guns and weapons of war? No. With Marines and soldiers and sailors? No. With ships of war? No. How will Jesus put down the Antichrist? How will the final war be won? Bless God, the Son of God shall come in His glory and speak, and by His word, the Antichrist shall be defeated. Everything that God has ever done, He's done by His word. Your trouble is, the word of God has the way out. Don't you say, preacher, I have not found the way out of my problem in the Bible. Then just obey the rest of it. Obey the rest of it. If you can't find a way out in the Bible, no example like yours, no commands that affect yours, if you can't find it, then just everything you see in the Bible, do what it says. When the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together, come to church on Sunday morning, church on Sunday night, church on Wednesday night. The Bible says, be you separate from the world, then be you separate from the world. Bible says, don't touch a strong drink, then quit your beer drinking, your cocktail sipping, your wine drinking, and your guzzling. God says, be clean and pure, be clean and pure. When God says women should not wear clothing pertaining to a man, then don't do it. When God says a man ought to get a haircut, get a haircut. When God says it's a shame for a man to have long hair, get a haircut. When God says you're supposed to give him his day, give him his day. When God says you're supposed to tithe, give him his tithe. Listen, I don't care where you are tonight, you're not going to find your way out by disobeying this book. You're not. We had a cantata tonight. All across America, at this time, they're having them. But we'll never have one at 7 o'clock in the evening. Why? Because this book is what you need to get out of your troubles. This book. Well, I thought when I heard the choir tonight, I sat back there. My heart began to weep as I remembered 57 years ago. 57 years ago, my alcoholic dad had never sat beside me in church. He had never been with my sister and my mother and me in a church service since I was born. And one afternoon, on a Sunday afternoon, I asked my daddy if he'd go to church with us that night. And my father thrilled me unbelievably when he said he would. I went down to Mr. Wyatt, who lived across the street, only nice house in our neighborhood, and only telephone in our neighborhood too, by the way, Mr. Wyatt, who started the Wyatt food store chain, who started the Wyatt cafeteria chain. I said, Mr. Wyatt, could I use your telephone? I was 7 years old, little barefoot boy. I used his telephone, called my pastor, Forrest McElroy, big fellow about 6'4", looked like Joe Boyd. I said, Brother McElroy, this is Jackie Boy Hiles. My daddy's coming to church tonight. He's never been. He may never come again. Brother McElroy, really preach hard tonight. Do the best you can to get my daddy saved. I said, if you could, I'd like for you to preach on a second coming. That always scared me. I thought it'd scare Dad. We went that night, walked down Fernwood Street, my mother, my father, my sister, and me, the only time it ever happened in my life. And I held my daddy's big hand as a 7-year-old boy. And I prayed all the way to church that night that God had saved my daddy. I prayed for God to bless my preacher as he preached that night. When it came time to preach, my pastor stood up and said, folks, we're not having preaching tonight. We're having a Christmas cantata instead of preaching. And I sat right back there and I said, this is not right. It's not right. I love music. And I wouldn't have missed this tonight for the world. But I said, this is not right. My daddy's going to hell. He needs to be saved. He's never been to church with us before. May never come again. This isn't right. And my daddy slept that night during that music and never went back to church again in that church. And I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, the answer is the book. It pleased God with the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. What America needs is preaching. Answers in the book. The way out. The way out. The book has the way out. Now listen carefully. You check this book to see if there's any story like yours. If there is, you do what they did. If there's no story like yours in this book, you check the book for commandments that would apply to your situation. If there are no commandments like that, then what you do is you just say, okay, everything I find in this book, I'm going to obey this book. And God, wherewithal, our text says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed to the book? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a light unto my path, the Bible says. Order my steps according to thy word, the psalmist said. Listen carefully. Number three. Number one, I said there is a way out. Number two, the Bible has the way in it. Number three, have someone who knows the Bible and has experience in helping people find the way out for you. Look at me. If you are in such a problem, you can't find your way out. Your decision maker is broken. Now, don't use a broken decision maker to get yourself out of where you are. If your car is broken down, your car can't pull your car out. You've got to get a wrecker to come and pull your car out. Now, if your life is wrecked, you can't pull yourself out. And by the way, you should not make your decision with your own decision maker. Now, I want to say this tonight. Brother, if you don't agree with what I'm saying, show me the answer in the world. Try out your answer. Try it out. Show me the lie that's been transformed by the psychologist. Show me. Try them out. Try out your converts. Let them testify how much they love the psychologist because he's changed their life. Brother, you won't find it, but I can trot across this pulpit tonight hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people in this room who have had their lives wrecked and messed up in the depths of sin and wrecked and couldn't find their way out and then stand up and say, the Bible is what got me out of my trouble. Find yourself someone who knows the Bible and has experience in helping people, and let them help you find in this Bible the way out. Then, do what He says. Do what He says. Number four, do what He says even if it doesn't make sense. Hear me carefully. It's not going to make sense to you. It's not going to make sense to you. People come to my office with the hundreds and some of them walk out and say, preacher, that advice you gave me, it doesn't make sense. Well, of course it doesn't. It's your mind that got you where you are. You got yourself in the mess. I mean, sure, to a broken decision maker, a decision made by a good decision maker is not going to make sense. When I go to the doctor, I take his medicine. I do what he says. Because he's a doctor. He is not always right, but he's right more than I am. Now, hear me carefully. If I were in a mess, and there was no way out that I could see, if I could find me somebody who had spent 43 years helping people find the way out, I believe I'd go to him and say, what's the way out? Now, it's easy and trite to say the Bible is the way out. And that's true. But there's more to it than that because you don't know all the Bible. But if you can find somebody who's spent a lifetime in the Bible and trying to help people who could not find a way out, find a way out, you've got yourself a good opportunity there. So, do what he says, even if it doesn't make sense. Remember, your decision maker is broken. Listen carefully. If I had a pastor whom I loved, and he loved me, and he for almost a half a century had seen people go down a certain road to ruin, I'd listen to him if he said, don't go down that road. Let me say it again. If I had a pastor who for almost half a century And he loved me, and I loved him. And he had seen for almost a half a century people go down a certain road to ruin. I'd listened to him. You know what I preach up here? This is what I preach. I preach what I have found from 43 plus years. The way certain roads turn out. Let me illustrate what I mean. Let's take this road right here, from here to that back door. It's a pretty road, let's say. It's fun. The people on that road are exciting people, colorful people, people that have charisma. But if I knew a man who had watched people for almost a half a century walk down that road, I'd check with that man and see how happy they are when they get down to the end of that road. Here, you're going to see right now the story of my ministry. I go down a certain road. It may be pretty and attractive, but I want to find out for you what's at the end of that road. And so I followed that road, and I checked it to see what's at the end of that road. And I go up here, and I look out, and I try to see what's at the end of that road. And I come back and I say, ladies and gentlemen, there's death there. There's unhappiness there. There are broken hearts there. The diseased bodies there. Their wrecked lives there. The men at the rescue mission went that road. Broken lives, broken hearts, broken dreams, broken air castles up there. But you said, house, it's so much fun on that road. Yes, it's so much fun on that road, but the end thereof is the way of death. I don't have a few things I want you not to do. I haven't picked out a few things that are fun I don't want you to do. I just don't think you ought to decide what road you go down on the basis of how pretty the road is. I think somebody who's been down there to the end of it and sees how it turns out ought to come back and tell you, hey, the other day down there in Tennessee, not far from Chattanooga, on a foggy day, 75 cars ran together. Pictures of the newspaper looked like a war zone. At last count, 14 or more people were killed. And I couldn't wonder why somebody didn't go back up the road somewhere. Some guy coming from the other side of the road didn't go back up the road somewhere. Turn his lights on. Or his horn. Try to stop the people from going down there. Bless God, I know what I'm talking about. I'm no genius, but I've got enough sense to keep my eyes open. And young people, I know where the rock music crowd ends. And I know where the Hollywood crowd ends. And I know where the liquor traffic ends. And I know where the humanist crowd ends. Let me tell you something. The happiest college students in this world are right out there at Howells Anderson College. Why? They found the answer. The answer's in the book. There's no way out for the Jews and Esther. But they obeyed God. And God showed them a way out. There was no way out for the three Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But they obeyed the Word of God. And God showed them a way out. There was no way out for Daniel, the lion's den. But he obeyed the Word of God. And God showed him a way out. There was no way out for Joseph in Egypt. But he obeyed God. And God showed him a way out. There was no way out for the Israelites in Egyptian bondage. But they obeyed God and His Word. And God showed them a way out. There was no way out for Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, but they obeyed the Word of God, and God showed them a way out. There was no way out for Isaac And Abraham took him to Mount Moriah to offer him for a sacrifice. But they obeyed God, and God showed a way out. You don't know the way out. The psychologist doesn't know the way out. The humanist doesn't know the way out. The psychiatrist doesn't know the way out. The liberal preacher doesn't know the way out. The professional counselor doesn't know the way out. Here's the way out. It's in here. I don't care what your problem is. The answer's here. There's a way out. Every problem you have has its solution right there. Well, Brother Howes, I'd like to get out of what I'm in. As you fellows, your hair drapes down to your shoulders in direct disobedience to 1 Corinthians 11:4. I'd like to find the way out. Here's a strange thing. When you get in financial trouble, you quit tithing. Well, first thing you do is get God in a bad humor. And you steal from the fella who has the way out. If you get backslidden, first thing you do to find your way out, you quit going to church. God, through His Word, has the answer to your problem. Sometimes I leave my office late at night after having counsel sometimes as many as 5 or 6 hours consecutively. And I go home and I put my head on the table in our kitchen and I just cry because of the problems into which people get themselves. Tonight, you sit here, hundreds of you, with a problem, a burden, a heartache, and you don't know the way out. And you're not as smart as you think you are. And it's not a sign of courage to say, I got myself in this and I'll get myself out. It's a sign of being foolish. God has the answer. This book has the answer. It is the way out. Let me just give you a touch review, and I'm through. The Bible has the way. Obey it. If there's something in the Bible that applies to your problem, obey it. If there's not, obey everything else in the Bible. Next, have someone who knows the Bible and has experience in helping people find the way out for you. Next, do what He says, even if it doesn't make sense. Now, I want to say this. The more education you have, the less likely you are to obey what God says. I'm talking about formal education now, the kind that makes you dumb. The more formal training you got, the more you think you can handle it yourself. But let me tell you something. You know where most of the people in America are tonight that don't know the way out? I'll guarantee you that most of the suicides in the lives of teenagers tonight are coming from the wealthy homes. Teenagers got it all. Got a car of his own. Big allowance. Never gets a callus on his hand. And that's the best way in the world to ruin a kid. Never works a day in his life. Fun, fun, fun. Rock concerts. Madonna. The Prince. Michael Jackson or Jesse Jackson. Toss them up. They're the same. All Jacksons are alike. There's something else. The more money you've got, the less likely you are to think the answer's here. You can buy your way out. No, you can't buy your way out. You don't know the way out. I don't care if you've got PhDs all over your wall. You don't know the way out. I don't care if you've got millions in the bank. You don't know the way out. I don't care if your IQ is 175. You don't know the way out. There is a way that seemeth right
to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Obey the book. It's the way out. And God in His wisdom looked down in His foreknowledge and saw all the problems that man would have. God saw a young man in a state university. And they said he couldn't pray. And God said, I think I'll put a young man in a state university named Daniel who will pray anyhow.
God looked down and saw that it took you stand for God. Sometimes the government would be against you. Sometimes they'd say you got to worship our God made by the government. And God said, I just think I'll put three men in that case, at that instance, and I think I'll just put them in a fire furnace and let them know I know the way out. God looked down and saw a man that was hated by his family, sold into slavery, and God said, my people are going to need that. And so God made a Joseph and a story of Joseph so God could give you an example of the way out. But I don't care who they are in the Bible. I don't care how many people in the Bible, demon-possessed, possessed by liquor, possessed by dope, possessed by atheism and heartache and heartbreak. There's not one person in this book who's ever found the way out outside the book itself. And there's not one person in the world tonight bound by the shackles of liquor. Take all the Alcoholics Anonymous you want to, but the way out is in the book. There's not a person tonight bound by the shackles of narcotics. And you can say no to drugs, no to drugs, no to drugs, all you want to. But the more we say no to drugs, no to drugs, the more kids are saying yes to drugs. The answer to the drug problem is the Word of God. The answer to the marriage problem is the Word of God. The answer to our broken homes problem is the Word of God. The answer to our liquor problem is not if you drink, don't drive. No, sir. Just don't drink. The answer's in the Word of God. You little smarty pants, two-bit kind of a brain child, you don't know the answer. God knows the answer. Get in the book. You'll find your way out. There's no other way. No other way. Father, I hunger. In my soul, I hunger for people to understand the truth of the blessed book. Everything you've ever done, you've done by your word. When the devil came on the Mount of Temptation, Jesus, you said to him, three times when you were tempted, you quoted the Bible, got in the book.